All right, Rabbosai, good morning. Let us begin by thanking all of our sponsors for this morning share, to thank our Talmud Torah sponsors for the month of Cheshvan. Josh and Becca Friedman dedicating Ovid Shomer Joshua's this month. Ingration of the Yartzeit of Josh, his father Yisrael Yehuda, Rav Chaim Rafael, as well as for in the Aliyah for the Neshamas of all of those who were killed al Kiddush Hashem on Shmini Atzeres and Simchas Torah in Eretz Yisrael, and for a safe return for all of our hostages and chayalim. Sammy and Malka Esterson, in memory of their parents, Hinda Bas Henlech Ephraim, Yitzchok Leib Ben Aaron HaKohen, and Sarah Rachel Bas Baruch Avram. The Pepper family, in memory of their brother and uncle, Yosef Pepper, Yosef David Ben Yaakov, Zichron Lebracha. Our week of learning sponsors, Doug and Gail Stanger, in memory of Doug's father, Shraga Feivel Ben Moshe Avram Halevi, Zichron Lebracha. And of course, as a shiur, we dedicate our learning in the Ilu Yinishmas, Master Sergeant Elio Michal Harush. We hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah, his neshama will have an aliyah and the family a nechama. Well, so with that, let us begin. Today's daf is Daf Chav Zayin. I want to thank my sheif for enabling me to give shir virtually yesterday. Thank you. It's a great zchus baruch Hashem to be back here with all of you today. Today's daf is Chav Zayin, and what a daf it is. Incredible, incredible daf ahead of us today. Introduced to the incredible sugi of Adam Mor Li'olam. So we'll say, let's pick up. We are 27, we are picking up on 26a. And we are picking up five lines up from the bottom. Last word on the line, Va'omer Rabba. Va'omer Rabba. Rabba says as follows, Zorak Tinok Mirosh Hagag. If a person threw a baby off the roof, and we'll say, obviously, again, the cases sound terrible. Obviously, again, the Gemara often uses hyperbolic cases in order to go ahead and illustrate a point. So a person goes ahead, Zorak Tinok Mirosh Hagag, and someone else went ahead and was standing below with a sword, and ultimately again the baby was impaled on the sword. So I'll say, so what's the shaila? The shaila is of course liability. Because remember again, the assumption over here is the fall itself would have killed the baby. But again, now someone came along and introduced an intervening force of the sword. So the shaila is, what's the liability? Remember again, I'll say, what's the similar case to this? The similar case to this was the guy who threw the kli off the roof, right? Threw the utensil off the roof, and Lamaisa again, someone else came along and what? So they were with the baseball bat and smashed the cleat. So in that case, remember again, we said that the baseball bat guy really has no liability. Why? Because mana tvira tavar. He broke a broken utensil. So of course, over here, the question is, can you see the same logic over here? The guy with the sword kind of killed something that was already dead. Halachically, it's viewed as dead, since ultimately, again, it would have died as a result of the fall. So it says the Gemara Zorak Tinok Mirosh Hagag Uba Achar VeKiblo B'Sayif Plut the Rabbi Yehuda Ben Meseira VeRabbanon. Ultimately, again, so this is a Machlokes Rabbi Yehuda Ben Meseira and the Rabbanon. Disanyo. We'll say, what's the Machlokes? Here we go. So Kiso Hiko. I'm sorry. Hiko Asar Ben Yehuda. We'll see if she had this. Asar Machlos. Imagine for a moment, ten people hit Ruvain with 10 sticks. Beim Basachas Beim Bezachazah. Whether they did it all together simultaneously or they did it consecutively, what's the halacha? Kulan tap of chavzayin, kulan peturin. All of them are putter. Now we'll say, what's the logic over here? Take a look at the first Rashi in the daf peturin. Deba inon shiyake kol nefesh adam kol hanefesh. Ve'in kan maka kol hanefesh u'peturim misa. So we'll say, so the idea over here is, according to the Rabbanon, in order for there to be capital liability, you have to deliver a death blow. Right, a person has to be capable, a person has to have delivered the blow that caused death. In this case over here, one really can't make that argument because Lemaisa, again, here there was, this is like, I don't know, for lack of a better term, like contributory homicide, right? They're all contributing in some way, and no one person could be considered to have delivered the death blow. Therefore, Alocha Lemaisa, they're potter. The Rabbi Yehuda ben Meseira comes along and he says, B'zeh achar zeh. Ha'acharon chayiv b'pnei shekirev misasom. Rabbi Yehuda ben Meseira says that halacha l'maisa. No. If they did it simultaneously, then I agree. Then there can't be any liability because all of them simultaneously contributed. But if they hit Reuven consecutively, then the last guy is chayiv. Why is the last guy chayiv? Because one can make the argument that clearly his blow. Ultimately, at least hasten the death. Even if his blow by itself wasn't powerful enough to have caused death, there's no question that his blow hastened death. And I must remember again in Halacha, the act of hastening death is considered to be an act of bloodshed. Remember when we mentioned this, a week or two back, I mentioned the idea that this is a dramatic ramification for end-of-life issues. Right? You could have a person who is going to die as a result of a certain condition. But if I do something that hastens the death of that person, that is considered to be an act of bloodshed. So therefore, Rabbi Yehuda ben Maaseiro says, if they hit, right, the 10 guys are there, and it's true, while none of them went ahead and delivered a death blow individually, but if they hit consecutively, the last guy who hit ultimately hastened the death, and therefore he'll be liable. I will say, plug that into this case. So let's say again, Reuven throws the baby off the roof. Shimon is standing there with a sword. So what's the halacha? Now the baby is impaled on the sword. So what's the halacha? So according to the Rabbanon, neither of them will be liable. Right? Neither. I take it back. Reuven's liable. Shimon's not liable because Shimon hasn't done anything. According to Yehuda ben Beseira, Shimon would be liable. Why would Shimon be liable? Because Shimon hastened the death of the baby, right? Although the baby would have died upon impact, Shimon accelerated that process or expedited that process by having the sword ready. Okay. Bashar v'kiblo v'karnov. What happens if, again, same case, Reuven threw the baby off the roof and ultimately a shark came along and gored the baby. So in other words, it caught the baby on its horn. So what's the halacha? Again, plugged Rabbi Shmuel b'nosh Rabbi Yochanan the Baroka v'Rabbanon. So we'll say, so this will be the machlokes Rabbi Shmuel, the son of Rabbi Yochanan the Baroka and the Rabbanon. What's the machlokes? Listen to this. Tisanya. V'nosan pigyon nafsho. So I will say, so remember again, the halacha is, that ultimately if a person's shark kills someone, so there's an obligation to go ahead and pay kofar. Kofar, we spoke about this yesterday's daf as well, and we're going to spend much more time on this as well. Kofar is an atonement payment, right? It's a financial payment whose goal is to effect atonement. So this is fascinating. I'm sorry? For the killer. For the owner of the ox. That's right. Not for the ox. The ox is killed. So what says the Gemara says itself. So see, here's what's interesting. The way the Torah phrases it is, you will give an atonement for your soul, which raises an interesting machlokes. Demei nizak. So Gemara says demei nizak. So whose value? Obviously, what's happening over here is the kofar payment is I'm paying the value of someone. Right? I have to pay the atonement value of my soul. Whose value are you paying? So the first opinion says, Demei Nizak. You're paying the value of the person who was killed. So in other words, we'll say, so we go ahead. Look at Rashi for just a moment. Rashi says, Plug to Rabbi Shmuel Rabbanon, the Inyan Kofar, Rabbi Shmuel Damar Kofar, actually before we get to this. So we'll say, so Demei Nizak means, we look at the value of the person who was killed. I will say, in general, how do you establish value? On a most basic level, you look at if a person was being sold as a servant, how much money would they command on the servant market? Okay, that's one way. So first opinion says, we look at the value of the person who was killed, and the owner of the ox is obligated to pay that amount. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Shmuel, but no, that's Rabbanon. Rabbi Shmuel, but no, Rabbi Yochanan, Baroka, Omer, Dnei Mazik. He goes, no, you don't pay the value of the victim, but rather you pay the value of the mazik, of the person who did the damage. Or in this case, again, the owner of the ox. So we'll say, how does this come up over here? So now let's play this out. So Reuven goes ahead and throws the baby off the roof. And now Shimon's ox comes along and receives it on its horns. So the shaila is, who's liable over here? Right? Who's liable? Or what is the liability, I should say? So the Gemara says, this depends on Machlokes Rabbanan and Rabbi Shmuel, right? Look at Rashi now for just a moment. Rashi says, Le'inyan kofar, see that Rashi, it's the last of the wide lines. Rashi says, Le'plukta Rabbi Shmuel v'Rabbanon, Le'inyan kofar, Rabbi Shmuel tamar kofar, b'mazik shaminon, m'shalim kofar. So it's according to Rabbi Shmuel who says that you pay the value of the damager, so that's fine. In this case over here, the owner of the ox would pay the value of his value. However, again, aval Rabbanon v'shaminon b'nizak, Hai lo hava le damim upater. We'll say, but if you hold that the value of kofar is the value of the victim, we'll say it's actually interesting. In this case, the victim has no value. What do I mean by that? I'll say, what is the value of a baby falling off a roof? Okay, I'll say, it sounds strange to speak in like such coarse terms. But I'll say, we're just talking about, you know, there's a phrase called halacha yevesha, the dry halacha. Right? Just about just in a legalistic perspective, how much, what's the value of a baby falling off the roof? And the answer is zero. Zero, there's no value. There's no value to that. So because there'd be no value, ultimately, again, there'd be no call for payment either. Okay. From a Rabbah says as follows, Nafal mirosh hagag v'niska b'isha. All right, so this is an interesting case. So right, Reuven falls off the roof, and somehow the position in which he falls on top of a woman, and it results in an act of bia. It results in an act of relations. Right? So again, remember, we're using hyperbolic cases in order to go ahead and illustrate. Okay, enough side chatter over here, right? Right? Again, we're just right. Again, a hyperbolic case in order to illustrate a point. So remember, again, he's falling off the roof, and he falls off in such a way that he falls literally again on top of a woman, and ultimately results in an act of bia. So we'll say, so now, the question is, what are the ramifications? So chayiv b'dal dvarim. So we'll say, so first of all, he's going to be chayiv ultimately again in dal dvarim. So remember again, which is nezek, tsar, ripui, we'll see sheves. So again, remember again, nezek, damages, ripui, doctor bills, sheves, lost wages. What did I leave out? No, but besides boshes, nezek, tsar, ripui, sheves, right? Ultimately lost, right? Nezek, tsar, pain and suffering, right? Damages, pain and suffering, lost wages, doctor bills. So he's going to be, you see why I'm leaving out boshes in just a moment, right? There's also humiliation, but we'll leave that out for just a second. So we'll say, so remember again, he's going to be chayiv in these four things. Now, Rashi makes an interesting observation over here. Rashi says, v'niska v'isha chayiv edal dvarim, ukigon sh'nafal beruach mitsuya, tahavile karov lemezid. So I'll say, so ultimately, again, so interestingly enough, this is talking about a case where he was blown off the roof by a regular wind. We're going to contrast this with another case. We'll say, so in general, if you go up on a roof, right, you have to make sure that you steady yourself so that a regular wind, a ruach mitsuya, doesn't blow you off. And if you get blown off the roof by ruach mitsuya, that's a shtickle negligence. Bless you, a shtickle negligence. We're going to see what I mean. So what's the halach? It's fine. So chai b'dal dvar, we'll get to that in just a moment. Obi evinto lo kana. Interesting, I will say, if Reuven fell off the roof and the woman who he happens to fall into and as a result has bia with, right, is his yevama, is his sister-in-law, the wife of his now deceased brother, and they weren't sure what they were going to do about Yibum, right? And now again he has relations with her, it doesn't affect Yibum. Bless you, it doesn't affect Yibum. And I will say, now why is that? So Rashi says over here, in order for Yibum to be affected, he has to have kavana for bia. He has to have kavana for bia. Right? In other words, doesn't necessarily have to have kavana for Yibum, but has to have kavana for bia. In this case, remember, there was no kavana for bia. It just happens to be he's blown off the roof and through a confluence of circumstances ends up in this position, right? But Lamaisa, there was no kavana for bia. There was no intent for an act of relations, and therefore there is no yibum. So watch this. Chayiv. So listen to this. Chayiv benezek tsar ripui uboshes. So also, as we said before, he's chayiv for these four things, right? What is he chayiv for? Nezek, damages; tsar, pain and suffering; ripui, doctor bills; sheves, lost wages. Ava boshes lo, but he's not chayiv for boshes, pain and humiliation. Why not? We'll say disnan eno chayiv ala boshes ad shu miskaven. Remember again, we said this before. This we saw this 2 days ago, yesterday. The concept of boshes, of humiliation is only paid when you are either mazid, intentionally damage someone, or karov lemazid. Or very close to being intentional. In this case, over Rabosa, remember again, he's not intentional. In this case, as much as he was perhaps like a little bit negligent because he didn't steady himself enough in the face of a ruach mitsuya, of a regular wind, but clearly there's no kavana to damage. There's no intent to go ahead and hurt or harm, and therefore halach lemaisa, no boshes. Incredible. Fine. So we'll say let's go with another case. That was interesting. Let's go with another case. V'amar Rava. But what is interesting, by the way, along the way of these cases is you pick up like a number of just fascinating halachic facts. That's the point. I will say, you wonder to yourself, why does the Gemara come up with cases that are never going to occur? And remember, again, think about all of like the little legal nuggets you're picking up along the way with each of these cases, right? How we're learning about kofar, how we're learning about now, again, even yibum, right? That yibum requires kavana for bia, all right? Fine, boshes requires you to be almost mazid or karov lemazid. Next, vamarabba. Next case, Reuven is on top of a roof. And what happens? Reuven is now blown off the roof by what we call a ruach she'ena metsuya, an uncommon wind. Now, what does that mean? Like a gale force wind. In other words, ruach metsuya means on any given day there's a wind blowing. So again, you have to ask that. And that wind could even be potentially a little bit strong at times. So you have to steady yourself, protect yourself and your property from doing damage. Ruach she'ena metsuya means like a gale force wind, a storm wind. Just an uncommon scenario. So Reuven now is on the roof. He's blown off the roof by Ruach Shena Metsuya Vehezik, right? And he damages Ubayish. And as a result, ultimately, again, there's humiliation for the damaged party. What's Talacha? Chayiv al Hanezek Upata Bedal Dvarim. So we'll say in this case, he's Chayiv for damages, but he's Pater for all four buckets of damage. Now we'll say, now why is that? Because remember again, as we saw in yesterday's daf, so in order to be chayev for the four categories of damages that we just mentioned before, there has to be some level of intentionality. Here, this is more like an ones situation, right? That's why beforehand, you know, with the ruach, if you're blown off the roof by ruach metsuya and you cause damage, you're going to be chayev in the four categories of damages. Because again, you have an obligation to make sure that you don't damage as a result of a ruach metsuya. But you're blown off the roof by ruach she'ena metsuya, an uncommon wind. That's an ones. That's almost like an extenuating circumstance. And therefore, halacha lemaisa, there's no liability for the four categories of damages. But ruach metsuya vehizek ubayish, what happens if you're blown off the roof as a result of ruach metsuya, common wind, and you damage and you humiliate, chayiv bedal dvarim. So in that case, we'll say, you chayiv in dal dvarim. Now, again, why you chayiv in dal dvarim? Because again, there you should have been careful, right? You have an obligation to steady yourself in the face of a ruach metsuya, common wind. If you didn't do so, you're chayiv ultimately again dal dvarim, but you're pater al bosha. So we'll say, why are you pater on humiliation? Because remember again, what do we say? Humiliation requires either mazid or karov mazid, right? You have to be either like intentional or very close to being intentional. Good. Vim this hapech. Now, this is an interesting case. What happens if as you were falling, nisapech literally means you did a flip. Now what does that mean, nisapech? So we'll say, imagine the following situation. Reuven is falling off the roof. So in a classic case of Reuven falling off the roof, Reuven falls off and he just falls on Shimon. And as a result of falling on Shimon, he goes ahead and he does damage, this humiliation, all this different kind of stuff. Fine. We'll say, what happens, nisapech, Rashi says, la'achar shiska linpo, din iskavin linpo ala adam lana oso. What happens? Reuven's falling off the roof. And as he's falling down, he sees, oh, there's Shimon, right? Shimon's put on a couple of pounds. That would make for a nice, softer landing, right? So what does he do? He goes ahead and, you know, he moves himself around so as to intentionally fall on Shimon. So we'll say, what's talacha? Chayiv af ala boshes. So in that case, we'll say, obviously, he's chayiv for the four categories of damages: nezek, tsar, ripui, and boshe. And sheves. Nezek, tsar, ripui, and sheves. And in this case, he's also chayiv on boshes. Also chayiv on humiliation. Why? Because we'll say here, there's a mezid. Here, he's contorting himself, right? He's moving himself in order to dafka fall on Shimon to cushion his own blow. So remember again, whenever you have mezid or karov lemezid, in that case, halacha lemaisa, there's going to be boshes. Disanya, because we learned, mimashma shenemar, so we'll say just in general, this is actually interesting after this whole discussion, how do you know that boshes has to be mezid? Right, that in order to be chayiv for boshes, for humiliation, there has to be, again, absolute intentionality or very close to complete intentionality. Listen to this. Mimashma shene'emar v'shulcha adin. I will say, now, interestingly enough, the Torah describes a very interesting case. The pasuk is, ki enatsu anoshim yachtov ish v'achiv. So we'll say two men are fighting, Reuven and Shimon. And what happens? V'karva ishes ha'echad lahatzil is isham yad makeyu v'shulcha yada V'achzika b'mevushav. So we'll say, so what happens? So two men are fighting, right? And the wife of man A wants to break up the fight. So what does she do? She grabs, right, guy number two in a private area in order to get him to stop fighting with her husband. That's the case. That's one way to break up a fight. Right, so we'll say, so the ma'isa again, so this is what she does. V'shulchav yada. So we'll say the halacha is, why does it have to say she stretched forth her hand and she grabbed hold? Why do you have to say both? Both say to teach us. So in this case over here, there is a payment for boshes. And when is there a payment for boshes? When there is kavana to damage, even if there's not kavana to humiliate. So in this case, again, the woman did have kavana to damage. She didn't have kavana to humiliate. Right? But you see from here that as long as there's intentionality of the act, that results in boshes. So therefore, going back for just a moment, in this case where Reuben's falling off the roof, and now he contorts his body as a way to intentionally fall on Shimon, he doesn't have intention to humiliate Shimon, but he does have in mind to what? He does have intention to what? To fall on Shimon. Once there's intentionality of action, then there could be liability for boshes. Fascinating. So just to be clear, this is this distinction that we keep on making over here. For the Dalit Dvarim, in general, again, I will say, for damages, what we call damages, and really under the umbrella of damages, you have Nezek, which is damages, Tsar, pain and suffering, Ripui, doctor bills, and Sheves, lost wages. Those four things in general are called damages. Whenever a person damages, you're chayiv for those things. Assuming that it's not an extenuating circumstance, like you were blown off the roof. You were blown off the roof by Ruach Shein Metsuya. Right? So halacha lemaisa again, there's going to be chayiv for damages in Aske. And that falls under the idea of Adam Muad Li'olam. Person is responsible. Boshes, which is another category of damages, boshes is only paid when there is intentionality to damage. Doesn't have to be intentionality to humiliate, but boshes, humiliation payment, when there is intention to damage. Incredible. Let's go on more case. Rabbi says, in another interesting case here, Himiach lo gacheles aliba omeis pater. Well, listen to this case. It's fascinating. Reuben goes over to Shimon, and he places a coal on Shimon's heart. And Shimon dies. What's the halacha? Reuven's pater. They will say, now what's the logic? What's the logic here? Alibo umeis pater, shailel salko. They will say, because in general, if someone puts a coal on your heart, what should you do? Take it off. So obviously, again, Shimon should have taken the coal off. Shimon didn't take the coal off. But Reuven's pater from this. They will say, now, an incredible and profound Musar Haskil as well. Sometimes people do things to place us in difficult circumstances. Or people do things which create certain realities for us. While it might be true that someone else created the circumstances or someone else placed me in the circumstances, I have an obligation to extricate myself from compromised scenario, compromised situation. In other words, sometimes we use that as an excuse. If somebody put me there or somebody did something that created my reality, okay, what could I do? What can you do? Take the coal off your heart. What could you do? Walk away. What could you do? Extricate yourself. As well say, I am responsible for my life. And sometimes, even if someone else created circumstances which negatively impact me, I have the ability and the responsibility to right the ship, to extricate myself from those circumstances, and to save myself from any further harm. Such a tremendous yisod. So the Gemara goes weiter. A big dovenis, Raf. This is actually interesting. What happens if Reuven places the coal on Shimon's clothing and the clothing burns? Ultimately, again, chayiv. Then Reuven is going to be chayiv. They're both saying, now here's what's interesting about this. Look at Rashi for just a moment. Tahalo salka savar at abine le bedine v'yifralo. So I'll say this is interesting. In the second case, so Reuven is placing the coal on Shimon's clothing. Shimon could have removed the coal, but Shimon doesn't. Nevertheless, Reuven is liable. Why did I both say? It's actually interesting. In halacha, if someone damages your property, you have a right to say, you know what? I'm not intervening. Let them damage it, and I'll sue them in Beis Din. In other words, there's no obligation. It's actually interesting. When it comes to my person, so I have an obligation to go ahead and remove the damaging force. On my property, if I don't want to remove the damaging force, and just say, I'll just sue Reuven for damages, Shimon has the ability to do that. It's interesting. So the Gemara goes weiter. Good. Al big dominus or chai. Amar Rava said, Tarvayu Tanini. We learned both of these ideas. Alibo, this, we learned the idea about putting the coal on the heart. Tisnan, Sukavash, I love the socha or the socha mayim, then yachalalos, mishavu meischaiv. If Reuven goes ahead and throws Shimon into water or into fire in a way that Shimon cannot free himself, so in this case again, Reuven will be liable. Reuven will be chayiv. Dachfo the socha or the socha mayim. But if Reuven pushes Shimon into fire or into water, and Reuven has the ability to go ahead and extricate, or did I say the names wrong? Then Shimon has the ability to extricate himself from it, umes, but Shimon doesn't, potter. Ultimately, again, Reuven is potter. So it's interesting. So in other words, if Reuven throws Shimon into fire, water, and let's say, again, Shimon is bound, he's unable to move, so then Reuven is going to be chayiv. But if Reuven throws Shimon into fire or water, and Shimon has the ability to extricate himself from it, and he doesn't, Reuven is potter. That's exactly what we said before. Big though, what's the case of clothing? This none. Karas suso, right? If Reuven goes ahead and tears Shimon's clothing, shavar as kada, or ultimately he breaks his utensils, chayiv. Amanas liftar, potter. Ultimately, again, it's actually interesting. What does it mean, amanas liftar? If ultimately, again, he says, I'm sorry, I read that wrong. Kara esk susi, right? Kara esk susi, shavar esk kadi, chayiv. So I'll say ultimately again, even if Reuven says to Shimon, break my stuff, rip my clothing, right? And Shimon does it, he's chayiv. Amanas liftar, but if Reuven says to Shimon, break my stuff, on the condition that she'll be potter, then ultimately again, he's potter. Fine, we'll talk actually more about those cases later. Boy Rabba, Rabba says as follows, interesting case. Hiniach gachalas alev avdo mahu. We'll say, what happens if Reuven places a coal on the heart of Shimon's Eved? So we'll say, what's the status over here? Kigufo dummy, does the Eved have the status of Shimon's body? And the Eved, if the Eved dies, it's kind of on the Eved, right? He should have removed the coal from his heart. Okibamono. Or do we say that an Eved is like a piece of property? And therefore, no, it's no different than putting on a piece of clothing, in which case Reuven would be chayiv. Imtim slomer kigufo dummy, if you say that an Eved has the status of the guf of Reuven, or of Shimon, I should say, excuse me, and therefore, again, if the Eved dies, it's not on Reuven, because the Eved should remove the coal. Shoro mahu. What happens if Reuven places a coal on Shimon's shar, on Shimon's ox? What'll be the halach over here? So hader pashte, later on resolved it, avdo kigufo shar kamon. So it's an interesting distinction. An Eved is like Shimon himself. So in other words, if Reuven places a coal on the heart of Shimon's Eved, and the Eved dies, so then Reuven's not liable. Why? Because the Eved should have taken it off. And if the Eved doesn't take it off, that's on the Eved. That's not on Reuven. A shar, however, is like a garment, like an article of clothing, like a utensil. And therefore, if Reuven places a coal on the ox, and the ox dies, then ultimately, again, Reuven is going to be liable. We'll say another, again, to kind of loop back to what we said before, the distinction is so profound. We'll say, wherein lies the distinction between a man and an animal, an Adam and a behemoth? It's in the ability to actively remove themselves from dangerous situations. Right? An animal, which doesn't have das, right? An animal which has instinct, so could remove himself from certain harmful situations, but cannot remove himself from all harmful situations. But an Adam, man who has das, who has intellect, who has bechira, has free choice, when placed in circumstances that are unhealthy, that are difficult, that are compromising, man has the bechira, man has the choice to be able to remove himself and extricate himself from those negative circumstances. Halavai, we should be so chemeret Hashem to use our bechira wisely. Hajun Allah, Ketzer Regla Bosai, Mazel Tov. Mazel Tov, Mazel Tov. Let's go. Hamaniach, HaSakai Be'er Shusarabim. This was an interesting case over here. So watch this. Reuven leaves a jug in Rosh Hasarabim. Public domain. Uba'ach ha'viniskaba. And what happens? Shimon comes along and trips over it. Vishavra. And he breaks it. Potter. Ultimately, Shimon is potter. And we'll say, why Shimon potter? Because again, you can't leave your stuff in Rosh Hasarabim. Right? No one has a right to put their stuff down in Rosh Hasarabim. So therefore, if Reuven does so, that's on Reuven. And if Shimon subsequently goes ahead and tramples it and breaks it, so there's no liability. Now watch this. Vim Hizikba. What happens if Shimon tramples it, falls on it, you know, and breaks his leg? What's the halacha? The owner of the barrel is obligated in damages. So we'll say, so this is like a double whammy over here. So number one, Reuven, so the case, Reuven leaves his utensil on Surabim. Case number one is Shimon tramples over it and breaks it. No liability. Shimon has no liability. Reuven, don't leave your stuff in public domain. Case number two is Shimon tramples it and he breaks his leg. And in that case, Reuven will have liability for the damages he caused Shimon. Incredible. Well, says the Gemara just asked a technical question over here. Pasach b'kai v'siim b'chavis. The Gemara uses two different words, right? The case of the Mishnah begins by saying Reuven left his kad. Kad is a jug. It's a jug, right? And then it ends off by talking about a chavis, which is a barrel. So why are you changing your words? Pasach b'kai v'siim b'chavis. Utsram. We see this other places as well. Zeba b'chavisov zeba b'korasov. So talk about this case. Reuven is walking in a surabim with his barrel. Shimon's walking with a beam. V'nishbara kadosh hazeba b'korasov zeh. And Shimon's beam breaks Reuven's barrel. Pater. Ultimately, again, so Shimon is pater. Why? Because we'll say everybody has a right to be in a surabim. And stuff happens in Rosh Sarabim. Say once again, Pasach b'chavis v'siyem b'kad. Once again, the example began ultimately again with a barrel, and ended off with a jug. Another example of this, Tananami, is interesting. So, by the way, we're going to see all of these cases later on. So Tananami, Zeba b'chavis v'shem, Zeba b'chadosh dvash. Reuven's carrying a barrel of wine, and Shimon's carrying a jug of oil, right? I'm sorry, of honey. Finistika chavis shal dvash v'shafach ze yeno. We'll say what happens. The barrel of honey split. So what did the other guy do? The other guy poured out his wine in order to scoop up the contents of the honey. So what's the halacha? Ein lo ela scharo. The guy who poured out his wine can't go ahead and sue for the loss of wine. Rather, the only thing he's entitled to are wages for the act of collecting honey. You know, I will say, right now, the details of these cases are not what's relevant to us. We'll come back to these cases. What's important for us, I will say, is you see the same thing over and over. Pasach b'kad v'siyem b'chavis, first wide line, is you see the word kad and chavis, that they're constantly being switched. Amra pap, rababas, I'll tell you why. Hainu kad, hainu chavis. They're the same thing. I will say, in Talmudic verbiage, right, in Talmudic wording, kad and chavis are the same thing. Right? Even though we translate them differently, kad we normally translate as a jug, and chavis we normally translate as a barrel, but halachically, or at least Gemara wise, they're the same thing. L'maynafkam, I will say, what does this matter? L'mekach u'memkar. What this matters, I will say, is for business purposes. In other words, meaning what? I go to the store, right, or I order online, Reuven's store, and I order a chavis, right, and I end up getting a kad in the mail. I don't have a right, no returns. Why? Because kad and chavis are used interchangeably. So Gemara says, well, one second, hey, Gedami, what's the case? So if I live in a place where a jug, right, where a kad is not called the chavis and a chavis is not called the kad, right, but they're two different things, so the Gemara says, no, they're not interchangeable. Ha lo karula. L'tzricha deruba karula kada kada ula chavisa chavisa. So we'll say, v'ikonami di karula chavisa kada ula kada chavisa. So we'll say, interesting enough, what are we talking about? We're talking about a case where in this city, the majority of people call a kad, and a chavis a chavis. But there are some people that call a chavis a kad and a kad a chavis. Ma'adhem, what would you have said? Zil basa ruba. You might have thought in this case, go by the majority. And the majority of people call a kad, and a chavis a chavis. Kamash malon, a mebeis kamash malon, then holchin b'mamon achar harov. Fascinating. Let's say, so therefore again, what we're being taught is, when it comes to monetary things, we do not go after the majority. When it comes to monetary things, we look at all possibilities. So we'll say, it's actually fascinating. So therefore, if I live in a place where the majority of people call a jug and a barrel, a kad, a kad, a chavis, a chavis, but there are some, and some means more than one, right? There is some significant minority that does call a kad, a chavis, and a chavis, a kad, and I enter into a business deal to buy a chavis, and the seller gives me a kad, I don't have legal recourse. I don't have legal recourse. Since I go ahead and I live in a place where halacha l'maaseh, again, there are some people who call a kad a chavis and a chavis a kad, therefore the sale stands. I will say, obviously, the way to avoid that is to be explicit, right? You can always be more explicit, but that's the idea. In holchim mamon achar harov, take a look at Rashi in just a moment. First Rashi on the base. In holchim mamon achar harov, heichad dimistapka lan milsa kigon hacha We're actually going to see this case in a little bit, and actually fascinating. We're not getting into it now, but a fascinating case. A couple days from now, we're going to discuss this idea where you sell an ox to someone, and it turns out that the ox was a muad. So I'll say, so again, is there recourse in such a case like that? But the point over here is, ein hochel b'mamon achar harov, and therefore again, so just to be clear, obviously, if I live in a place where no one calls a kad to chavis and a chavis a kad, and again, I contract to buy a chavis and I get a kad, obviously, again, that's a mekach tos, and the transaction is void. The chiddush is, I live in a place where the majority of people call a kad, and a chavis, but a minority do call akad a chavis and a chavis akad, and I contract to buy a chavis, and the seller gives me akad. I don't have recourse. Okay, let's go back there. Uba achar benis kubav shapa. This was this. Remember again, back to the Mishnah. So what happened in the Mishnah? Reuven left his utensil, left his jug or his barrel, right in the Rosh Sarabim. Now what happened? Shimon comes along. What does Shimon do? Shimon trips over it, breaks it. What's the halacha? No liability. Meaning, Shimon has no liability for breaking the utensil of Reuven. So the Gemara says, "Am I potter?" This is incredible what I'm about to say. I don't understand. Why is Shimon potter? I don't understand. Shimon should look where he's going. I'm about to say, there is a concept of look where you're going. What do you mean? That's it. There's no liability at all. When he tramples over it, he should have to look where he's going. So the Gemara says, Amri Debe Rab Mishmei Derav. Interesting. What are we talking about over here? I would say Reuven didn't put one utensil. But rather, what did Reuven do? He lined the entire Rosh Hashanah. Right? Now, I would say now, it doesn't have to literally mean the entire. The idea over here is he left a lot of stuff in Rosh Hashanah. So because of this, not that it's impossible for Shimon not to trample on something, but let me say, we're not just talking about like it wasn't as. It's not too bad a case where, like, he left a utensil over here, right? The Rosh Hashanah is, you know, 20 amos wide, and Shimon went out of his way to walk over here. He left a lot of utensils, and therefore, again, and therefore, that's when Shimon's not going to be liable. Shmuel or Shmuel says, Ba'afela, it was nighttime. It was nighttime. So, in general, at night, ultimately, it's difficult to be able to see where you're walking. That's where there's no liability. Rabbi Yochanan with Karen Zavis. Rabbi Yochanan says, actually, interesting, Abba said, Karen Zavis means what? The Abba said, we actually saw this case before. He left it either at a protrusion or like at a corner. In other words, in a way where Shimon would not have readily seen it. That's the idea. So the Rabbi said, three different answers as to why Shimon isn't liable. In other words, Abba said, well, the Gemara is operating under the premise now that in general, you have an obligation to watch where you're going. That is, you have that obligation. So if that's the case, when Shimon tramples over Reuven's utensil in the Rosh Hashanah, why isn't Shimon chayiv? So three answers. Rav, Reuven left a lot of utensils in the Rosh Hashanah. Shmuel, it's nighttime. Rabbi Yochanan, it was a corner. Right? In other words, it was placed down in a way that Shimon just didn't see it. That's why there's no liability. So Rabbi says, Amra Papa, lo daika masnisin ela oki Shmuel ok Rabbi Yochanan. So Rav Papa says, our Mishnah really only works either with Shmuel, who says it was nighttime, or the Rabbi Yochanan, who says that it was like at a corner, so he couldn't have seen it. Di'ikarav, because if we're talking about a case where Reuven left just like a lot of utensils in the Rosh Sarabim, ma'irya niskal, afilu shavarnami. So we'll say that. So here's what's interesting. The Lashon of the Mishnah, we'll say, is Shimon tripped over the utensil. Right, niskal means like he tripped over, it was an accident. It's actually interesting. But what Rav Papa wants to suggest was as follows. If Rav was right, and in this case, Reuven literally lined the Rosh Hashanah with utensils, then even if Shimon didn't trip, but Shimon purposely stomped the utensils, there would still be no liability. Why not? Because Shimon has a right to traverse the Rosh Hashanah. And if there are utensils in his way, he has a right even to stomp on them to be able to get where he needs to go. The fact that the Mishnah used the Lashon ultimately of Niskal, which means he tripped over, as opposed to Shavar, trampled, indicates to us that we're not dealing with a case like Rav, where Reuven lined the Rosh Hashanah with utensils. Rather, it's either like Shmuel that it was nighttime,
Or there could be open that it was at a corner. So the Gemara says as follows. Amrav zid mishmei d'rava, hu adin tafilu shavar. Not necessarily. The truth is, the Mishnah could even be talking about a case where halacha l'maisa Ruvain purposely went ahead and smashed the utensil. V'hai diktani niskal. So why does it say niskal? Why does it say that he tripped over it? I did the body lemis nesefa vim huzak ba balachavis. Right, vim huzak ba balachavis chayib binisko. Sorry, vim hizak ba balachavis chayib binisko. So we'll say the reason why it had. So the Gemara says as follows: the truth is, the Mishnah could have said that even if Reuven Dafka trampled on it, purposely stomped it, he would still be potter. He would still be potter. So why does it have to say nisko? Why does it have to use a case of tripping over it? We'll say that's necessary for the end of the Mishnah. What did the end of the Mishnah say? That if Shimon went ahead and tripped on the utensil and then was injured, Reuven is chayiv. Now we'll say it's dafka niskal aval shavar lo. So we'll say the only time that Reuven would be chayiv if Shimon was injured from the utensil is if Shimon went ahead and tripped over it. But if Shimon purposely stomped the utensil and what? And was injured as a result of that, Reuven would not be chayiv. My time, what's the reason? Hu da'azika nafshei. Ultimately, again, that is because Shimon brought that damage upon himself. So we'll say it's interesting, right? So in other words, we're suggesting that maybe, if Reuven intentionally leaves his utensil on Shusarabim, even if Shimon Dafka stomps it, there's no liability. Why? Reuven has no right to leave his stuff there. So if that's the case, why frame the Mishnah as a case of tripping as opposed to a case of stomping? I'll tell you why. Because of the second case of the Mishnah. Because we'll say, here's the issue. If Shimon Dafka stomps the utensil and then gets injured, in that case there's no liability, right? You brought that on yourself. However, if Shimon trips over the utensil and as a result is injured, in that case there would be liability of Reuven. Katani Reisha, so the Gemara says Katani Reisha Niskal. So therefore again, the Mishnah Dafka says a case of tripping. Only Rabbi Abba Ravashi, Hachir Maravah. This is what they say in our Tzom Mishrei Ravula. Lefi Shein Darkon Shal Adam Lisponi Bidrachim. We'll say this is incredible. The Gemara now will say reverts back. No, remember we'll say this entire Gemara was based on the idea that a person has an obligation to watch where they're going. Right? And therefore, again, I will say, so Shimon has an obligation to watch where he's going. If Shimon has an obligation to watch where he's going, then why isn't he liable when he goes ahead and he trips over and smashes Reuven's utensil? And we gave three different answers. Either because there's a lot of utensils, it's nighttime, it's at a corner. Now the Gemara reverses course. The Gemara says, in Eretz Yisrael, they said, no. Do you know why Shimon is not liable when he goes ahead and trips over and smashes Reuven's utensil? Do you know why? Because people don't pay attention when they're walking. That's it. We'll say the assumption is that when people are walking in Rishus HaRabim, they're not paying attention to where they're going. And therefore what? And therefore Allah HaLamaisa, Reuven, don't leave your stuff in Rishus HaRabim. And if you do so, the onus is on you. Donuts is on you. People don't pay attention where they're going in Rosh Hashanah. They don't pay attention where they're walking. Therefore, it's common for them to step on stuff, to trample stuff, to damage stuff. And therefore, Reuven, if you leave your stuff there, that's on you. There's no liability for damages from Shimon to you if he tramples on your utensil. And if he gets injured, ultimately, you're going to liability. Both say, what a profound statement. What an incredibly profound statement. And so they said, you know what? The unfortunate reality is, it is not the derech of people to contemplate the derech of life they're taking. I was saying, people don't think. And of course, I'm not talking about me. Right? It's other people. Right? The derech of people, I will say, is, you know what happens in life? What happens in life? Most of us live life on cruise control. Right? You get yourself on a derech, right? Go ahead. And now, I will say, now you know what's incredible now. With cruise control, now there's even adaptive cruise control. Right? The beauty of adaptive cruise control, you even have to pay less attention. Right? It used to be that when you put on cruise control, okay, so it sets the speed, but you still have to be mindful of the car in front of you. Now you don't have to be mindful of the car, right? It's okay. It's got it. It'll accelerate. It'll slow down all on its own. You need not worry about a thing. We get on a derech of life, and we simply stop paying attention. We'll say it's the derech of people. Listen to the lashon. The derech of people is we simply remain inattentive to the pathway we've chosen in life. I make a choice, I get on a path. I will say people do this all the time. People do this in their career. You get into a job, you settle into a career, and what happens? It's not good. I'm underperforming. I'm not challenged. I'm not happy. I don't feel productive, but does it right, pays the bills. Pays the bills, right? It does it. It does it. People do this in their ruchnius, right? Again, I perform at a certain level. That's what I do. I perform at a certain level, lock in the cruise control. That's it. Keep going. We do it in our relationships. Things are broken. They're broken, but they're not explosive. They're broken, but they're not explosive. Let's just stay the path. Why? Who wants to live a life of underperformance? Who wants to live a life of cruise control? Who wants to live a life where I'm just kind of, you know, going? Let's see, you ever get behind on the highway? You ever get behind that guy who's going 50 miles an hour? You ever get behind that guy who's going 50 miles an hour? Right? And 50 miles is like that speed where, like, okay, I guess it's not like you shouldn't be on the shoulder, right? You shouldn't be on the shoulder, but you also don't really belong in a lane. And how do you feel when you get behind that guy who's going 50 miles an hour? How do you feel? How do you feel? Yeah, I'll tell you how I feel. Like, buddy, like, don't you have somewhere to be in life? Like, don't you have somewhere you have to get to? Right? Isn't there a destination that you have to arrive at? It's incredible. I don't understand how you do that. I hope I'm not offending anyone with using 50 miles an hour. Right? Right? Don't you have... I'm talking about where the speed limit is 65, not like in a 25 residential area. Right? 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 Well, but Lemaisa, right? Don't you have somewhere you have to be? Isn't there a destination? Aren't you at least in a little bit of a rush for something? And I always tell them, say, you know what? That's most of us. Most of us put on the adaptive cruise control at 50 miles an hour. Take it slow. Slow and steady. Slow and steady. And I always say, and that's not a way to live. It's not a way to live. The way to live is we have to contemplate the derech. The lashon is, the fishin darkon shel b'nei adam l'sponim drachim. The derech of a person is not to contemplate the path they are on. Not to be attentive to the road that they are traveling. Not to be attentive to where I'm going, what I'm doing, or how I'm getting there. And I want to say, we have the ability and we have the obligation to live differently. We have the obligation to be tuned in, to pay attention, to be attentive to how we live our lives each and every day and to what path we are taking and to which paths we're not taking. And most importantly, to be attentive that sometimes the path that I chose at a certain point in life doesn't work for me now. Sometimes life, you have to switch lanes and you have to plot a different journey for yourself. The derech of a person may be not to be attentive, but that doesn't have to be my derech in life. Incredible. Halva uvda b'Narda. There was an episode in Narda. And we'll say what happens. V'chayiv shmo. Right? And ultimately, again, we'll say, so there was an episode in Narda where there was a guy walking in Rosh Sarabim. He trampled over, he stumbled over a utensil, right? A kli. He broke the kli. And Shmuel said that he's chayiv. Right? Shmuel said that he's chayiv. So the Gemara says, but Bobadisa v'chayiv Rava. And Bobadisa Rava made him chayiv as well. So Bishlam Shmuel kishmaiti. So we'll say Shmuel makes sense. Because remember, again, Shmuel only exempted Shimon, the trampler, when it was done at night. When the assumption was that Shimon couldn't see where he was going. But if Shimon trampled something by day, so Shmuel would make him chayiv. So that makes sense. So the Gemara says, Ella Rava. But remember again, Rava was talking about a case where the Shmuel was full. So does Rava hold like Shmuel? So my papa, Karna da Atzra Habi. So this is interesting. We'll say we're talking about over here. Karna da Atzra Rashi says it was a corner that was next to the olive press. Now we'll say by the olive press, the chivan the bereshus kaavdi iboy leli yune umezel. Now we'll say by the olive press, it's common for people to put their barrels down by the olive press or their jugs down by the olive press. So because that, Rabbi say again, if you're in an area where it is common for people to put down their stuff, then there is a heightened level of vigilance and a heightened level of awareness that a person has to have. Okay, Shalachir Chisra of Nachman, Hari Amru, was this interesting. So it said as follows, Lirikuva Shalosh. Rabbi say, so now, what are we talking about over here? So we're going to discuss over here, Rabbi say, the idea of Boshas, right? When you go ahead and you damage someone, so there's a payment for humiliation. So this is interesting. So Rav Chisra Tzarat Rav Nachman, depending on the level of humiliation, will determine the amount you have to pay. So if you injure someone, the rekuva, with your knee, you knee someone, shalosh. So we'll say, so again, that's 3 coins. Ula bi'ita chamesh. For bi'ita, if you kick someone, that's 5 coins. In other words, these are different payments of humiliation. Ula sankores shalosh. We'll say sankola says you hit someone with a donkey saddle. So apparently, each of these are more humiliating in nature. You hit someone with a donkey saddle, shlosh esrei. Ula panda lemara, you hit someone with the handle of a shovel. Ula kufina demara, or with the blade of a shovel. So my, what's the halacha? So shalach le, so we'll say, now remember again. So this is Rav Chista is asking this of Rav Nachman. So Rav Chista goes through his list of humiliating acts and how much money you have to pay for each of those. The question after Rav Chista is, what happens if you hit someone with a shovel? So the shovel, how much do you have to pay? What's the boshes payment for hitting someone with a shovel? And he made a distinction between hitting someone with the handle of a shovel versus hitting someone with the blade. Is it called the blade of a shovel? You know, like the, yeah, blade of the shovel. Good. So the Gemara says, Shalach lei, chista chista. Kenasa coming bis, bebaval. So he said, chista chista. You're trying to collect penalty payments in Bavel. Now, remember again, in Bavel, they can't collect knas, right? Why not? Because you need smuchim, right? You need people with smicha. In Bavel, you need people with smicha. Emali gufa da avda hechi havas. Well, it's interesting. So now, Rav Nachman said to Rav Chista, chista chista. Instead of throwing out these arbitrary cases, why don't you tell me what happened? Tell me what happened, and I'll tell you what the halacha is. So the Gemara says, Shalach lei. So okay, so now Rav Nachman says, okay, Chista, here's the case. Listen to this. Tahu gargusa debe tre. So we'll say, so listen to this. He said to him the following situation. Good. So gargusa debe tre. So we'll say there was a water cistern, like a well, that belonged to 2 people. So Reuben and Shimon owned a well together, water cistern together. Now the way the agreement worked was, each day one of them had the right to draw water. So what happened? So the Gemara said, Asa chad kadali biyoma delo dilei. But what happened? One day Reuben came along and drew water on the day that belonged to Shimon. Amar le yoma didihu. So Shimon said, hey, it's my day. Lo ashkoch bay. Reuven didn't listen. So Reuven was drawing water on Shimon's day. Shimon says, hey Reuven, what are you doing? It's my day. Reuven wouldn't listen. What did Shimon do? Shako panda demara machye. So he took a shovel and he hit Reuven. He didn't kill him, but he injured him. Amrale, mea pandi bepanda lemechye. So Moses Rav Chista said, essentially, well Reuven, he deserved it. Right? He deserved it, right? Shimon should have hit him with a shovel 100 times. Now, what does that mean? So we'll say, I'm going to stop over here for today. Actually, we'll pick up in Meretz Hashem. I'm going to leave on the cliffhanger with this case, right? So now, again, Reuven and Shimon shared water cistern. Each have a day. Reuven took water on Shimon's day. Shimon said, stop. Reuven wouldn't listen. Shimon takes a shovel, hit him with a shovel. So ultimately, again, Rav Chista said he deserved it. Why he deserved it in Meretz Hashem, to be continued tomorrow. Ozai Shigoyach.